Welcome back to Amud Yomi. We're going to be doing Vav Amud Bet today. But in order to appreciate that, we'll start again with Vav Amud Aleph at the bottom, about 7 lines up, the Bayil Hu. Because until now, we've been discussing that there is this prohibition in the Mishnah of engaging in commerce with pagans 3 days before their holidays, 3 full days. The question is, what is that prohibition? So the Gemara gives us 2 options. Is the issue that you're going to be causing them a profit? And there, the question is, you're going to be causing a profit, and they're going to be so happy they got such a good deal that when it comes to the time of their holiday, they're going to praise their pagan deity, thanking them for allowing them to have this amazing, fortuitous economic transaction. And what's the problem there? So Rashi explains for us, Vavri Yisrael Mishum V'lo Yishma Picha, that the Jew is then going to be violate the prohibition of Lo Yishma Al Picha, that the names of pagan deities should not be heard on your lips. So the question is, it sounds like that from Rashi, this is a biblical prohibition. Yet we know from our earlier conversations that most Rishonim and even the Poskim Lahalacha understand that this prohibition of engaging in commerce 3 days before the pagan holidays is a rabbinic prohibition, which is why the Bali HaTosfos on Beis Amud Aleph can suggest that because of the rabbinic factor of Mishum Eva, that were we to refrain from engaging in commerce with our pagan neighbors, they would cause to hate us, would be bad news for the Jews. That is why commerce is permitted with them. So that's the case. So how could this rabbinic factor seemingly permit a seeming biblical prohibition in Isser Daraisa? So there's a couple of ways we can answer this question. The first would be is that perhaps you could say that it's only when it's known for certain, it's barur, it's 100% certain that what you're giving them, what you're selling to them, is going to be used for pagan practices, for, you know, for idolatrous rituals. But in the case where you don't know, and it's not clear at all from your transaction what it's being used for, but because of the proximity of the holiday, we're concerned that that's what's going to happen, so that concern is only of rabbinic nature. Alternatively, you look at the pasuk; it says Lo Yishma Picha, right? That the names of pagan deities shouldn't be heard on your lips. So the question is not being heard on my lips. It's that I'm causing this pagan through our transaction to be happy, and therefore they're going to praise their god through their lips. So perhaps you could suggest that the biblical prohibition is that we're for us, we're prohibited from praising and talking about in a positive and glowing manner pagan deities, but in order for us causing others to do that would only be a rabbinic prohibition. So that's one. Those are 2 ways to deal with this issue of it seemingly being Isser Daraisa. The other option the Gemara gave was lifting Iver. But even with that, we also have the same issue because lifting Iver is a biblical prohibition. And that's the case. So how do we deal with the fact that most commentators assume that the prohibition here of commerce with pagans is of rabbinic nature? So we mentioned on Friday that there are many in Mefarshim who understand that when it comes to lifting Iver, so specifically lifting Iver, we need to have certainty based on the conditions at play that hold in this transaction that you know for certain that's going to lead to an avera. If you don't, then there is no biblical violation, and it would only be a rabbinic prohibition. So too, we see that the role of sort of like the lack of knowledge in the situation of what's going on here, the lack of clarity, takes this prohibition, which would be in other circumstances where there was clarity. For example, later on, the Ritva says on Tetzvam Abayis that when there's reglayim ledavar, shiyavo havikavadai, when you know for certain there is sufficient evidence, both contextually and otherwise, that this is going to lead to an actual prohibition. So that's where lifnei iver would be a actual issur d'oraisa. But lacking that, we're only dealing with the realm of rabbinic prohibitions, which is why other rabbinic factors such as mishum eva can be relevant and neutralize them. So we have these 2 factors. This is a mishum harvacha, because of profit, and the word they're come and praise their deities, or lifnei iver, about our responsibility towards our fellow b'nei noach. So the Gemara says, what's a nafkamina? My nafkamina, what's the practical difference? So the Gemara says, the isla behema l'didei, it was when the pagan already has an animal in their possession, presumably being used for sacrifices. So iam ras mishum harvacha hakam revarachle. If the issue is about any sort of profit they can be making in close proximity to their holiday, that's prohibited, so then here they've profited, and therefore there's a concern they're going to go ahead and praise their deity. But but if you're saying the issue is about putting a stumbling block, you're going to be causing them to sin. You say they already possess a animal that's going to presumably be used for a sacrifice, and seemingly according to this rationale, you would not violate, according to this understanding of the prohibition, you would not violate the prohibition of engaging in, by when you engage in commerce with them. So the Gemara challenges this. Is it really the case that they already have something, means you're not directly facilitating, you're not directly handing them something to violate the prohibition. You don't violate lifnei iver. Hatanya, we have a brisa. Amar binasar binasar says, this is, we go on to that vav amabat. Minayin shelo yoshit adam koshel yain lenazar ve'iver menachaya b'nei noach. How do I know that I can't extend? In this case, again, very specifically the wording of the brisa here. It's not that you're giving it to them. Rather, you are presenting it to them. And then they still have to take it, whether in the case of the Nazir, the cup of wine, which is prohibited to them, or in the case of the Ben Noach, the Ivrim and Achai, which is prohibited to them. And so how do we know that even the prohibition of lifting Ivrim goes so far, and it's so expansive, that they, even if you place it in front of them, or you enable it, that you're going to violate the prohibition? Tam lomar v'lifnei iver l'tin nemechshol. It doesn't say you give the iver, you actually go ahead and stumble them. Rather, you place it there, so it seems like that the prohibition is so expansive, even this partial enabling is problematic, which would then seemingly cause a question in our situation, which is that if it's, that, but even though they have it, it sounds like any sort of association that you are connected to their violation is problematic. And the Gemara goes on and says, "V'ha'hacha and here the chilo yavina le shakli ihu v'kavim yishul lifnei iver tini mechshol." We see very clear from this brisa that even if you don't give it to them, you don't directly give it to them, but they can still nevertheless take it. And the Gemara says, "You violate the prohibition of lifnei iver." So how could it be? How could we say that the nafgamina between the two reasons of harvacha versus lifnei iver is one where someone already possesses an animal? So Gemara says, no. Hacha by Skinan, what are we talking about in our case of the Nazir and the Ben Noach? Dekai betrei avrei nahara. That we're talking about a situation, this is a concept that's used in the sugyas regarding lifnei iver, where there's two rivers that are separating them. Meaning to say that the terminology that's being employed here is to indicate that we are only violating lifting iver when we make it directly accessible for the person in question, whether Jew or non-Jew, to violate prohibition. And had we not played a role, they would not have had that chance. So here, we're saying that the fact that you were Yoshid, so had you, even though you did not directly give it to them, you just presented it as a possibility. So there, had you not presented it, they wouldn't have done it. But what you see is that in order to violate lifting iver, it's that it only deals in a situation where they did not have access to the forbidden substance in question. And so therefore, since by the case of the animal, they already had access to it, it would not lead to a violation of lifting iver. The Gemara continues and says that you see even from the language being used in the Brisa that it supports that point. Daikanami dikatani, the Brisa was very specific and precise in its language. The Katani used the words lo yoshit, v'lo katani lo yitain, shmamina. Used the terms that it presented it and not that it just gave it, we see from here. So now the Gemara wants to know, okay fine, so let's say it is a prohibition. Again, the Gemara doesn't clarify whether it's vishim harvacha or mishum lifnei iver, but we'll see according to the Gemara and other, and Rashi, they think that the Gemara has clarified the question. But what happens if you did? Fine. So it's prohibited for whatever reason, one of the two reasons, to engage in commerce. But what happens after the fact? So Rav Yochanan Amar, Nasav and Asan Asar, that if you go ahead and you engage in commerce with them during this period, so the proceeds are prohibited. Rish Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish says, Nasav and Asan Mutter, that if you engage in commerce, it is permitted. So Esvei Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish, Rav Yochanan challenged Rish Lakish for the following brisa. Edein Shal of the Kochavim, Nasav and Asan Asurin, that if on the holidays of pagans, commerce with them is prohibited. So Rav Yochanan reasons, my la lifnei dehen. So is it not that it's referring here to the period before the holiday, that even when you do a transaction before the holiday, after the fact, b'di'eved, nevertheless, it's still usur. So Rish Lakish response is, lo, edehen dafka. That the focus and the topic of the brisa is on the day itself. So what you see from here is, even though Rish Lakish says that after the fact, b'di'eved, during the time period before the holiday, the proceeds would be permitted, he agrees that any transactions that happen on the day itself, on the holiday itself, will be prohibited. Ikedamri of alternative tradition of what was the exchange. Esvei Rish Shimon ben Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. It wasn't Rabbi Yochanan asking a question of Rish Lakish. It was Rish Lakish asking a question of Rabbi Yochanan. From the same Brisa. Edehen Shal of the Kochavim, Nasav and Nasan, Asr. On the pagan holidays, it is prohibited if you engage in commerce with them. The proceeds are prohibited. So you see from there, unambiguously, Edehen in Lifnei Edehen Lo, says Rish Lakish. You see from there that it's the holiday itself that's problematic, but not beforehand. So, what's Rav Yochanan's response? Tana, I divide Edehen Karile. He says, no, that the Tana wasn't so specific in its terminology when it set down the terminology, what it was referring to, that both beforehand and on the day itself is referred to, is included in the term Edehen. So you can't bring any proof, any unambiguous proof any clear proof from this brisa. So now Rish Lakish brings another proof. Tanikav Asid Rish Lakish. Is there a brisa supporting Rish Lakish? Kesha Amru Asur Lasseis Latesi Mahem Lo Asur Elav Davar Hamiskayim. When they said it's prohibited to engage in commerce with them, they only prohibited, Chazal only prohibited those things which are non-perishable. Again, you see from here, Lo Asru sounds like Chazal. Sounds like that the entire prohibition here, again, proof for Tosfos, that the rabbinic prohibition of engaging in commerce is only rabbinic in nature. But what's it limited to? Those things which are non-perishable. Of a davar sheinu miskayim, lo. Something which is perishable, for example, fruits and vegetables, even those things are not going to be prohibited. V'afilu b'davar miskayim nasav natam mutar. And continues the brisa that, and even if you did engage in commerce with them when it came to non-perishable things, nevertheless, after the fact, b'diavad, those things are mutar. So this seems to be an unambiguous, clear proof for Rish Lakish. Now, it happens to be that how he passed as a machlokes rishonim, Rabbi Chananel seems to see this gemara, see this brisa being brought here at the end of our sugya as a clear proof, the halachas like Rish Lakish, that the proceeds and the profits that you make as a Jew in this interaction would be permitted. However, Tosfos disagrees, and if you want to look for more how he deals with these questions, you can look at Tosfos Divrei Hamaskel Tanya Kavasei Rishim Ben Lakish. As a further qualification, the Gemara teaches Tani Rav Zvid, but the Bei Rabbi Yoshia, Rav Zvid taught in the Beis Medrash of Rav Yoshia, Davar Sheim Eskayim Mochin Lehem, Aval Ein Lochin Lehem, something which is non-perishable. You can sell to them, but you can't buy it for them. So why can't you sell it to them? We said because it's not going to last until the time period when they're going to be praising their God 3 days, because you're doing this 3 days before. But why can you not sell? Why can you not buy from them? So says Rashi, because since you're buying from them, and again, it's this thing that they want to get rid of, they're so happy they're able to get rid of all of their, I don't know, their mushrooms that are going to be perishing, very quickly. So they're going to be so happy that joy is going to stay with them until their holiday, and it's going to come to the issue of Shema Marviach. They're going to go and praise their God because of this. So again, you see from this Rashi, though, that even though we thought that the Gemara never clarifies, what is the real reason why these things are prohibited? Is it because of lifting Iver? Or is it because of Harvacha, that because of the prophet they're going to praise their pagan deity? But at least from Rashi, when he's reading the Sukkah, it sounds like we've clarified that the issue is Harvacha. So now the Gemara tells us the Maisa Rav. Hahu mina the shadar le dinar de kisarna de Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya b'yom Edo. So it was some pagan who gave as a gift to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi this Caesarian gold coin, this very fancy coin, very expensive, on the day of their pagan holiday. So what do you do with it? It should be permitted, but prohibited. So Yosef Rish Lakish kamei. So here his student Rish Lakish was standing there. As we know, Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan were first generation Amorayim, but they were students of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So they are these transitional figures from one generation to the next. So he says to his student, Amar, Hichi Ovid. He says, what should I do? Ashkele Azul Moda. If I take it, then I'm going to cause them to go ahead and praise their God. Oh, amazing. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, leader of the Jews, he took my gift. I'm so happy. Thank you, Zeus, Shiva, etc. Velo Ashkele, Havile Eva. But if I don't take this gift, then there's going to be bad news for the Jews. So what should I do? So Amar Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish said to him, Tuv Azrokos Ulabor B'fanav. You know what you should do? Take that coin and throw it into a pit in front of him. So says Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Amar Kolshkin Havale Eva. If I do that, of course, I don't understand what your solution is. Of course there's going to be hatred here. So Gemara's answer is, no, Kalacher Yad Hu Dekam Mina. Is that not that you should do it, you know, intentionally, so he thinks you're throwing it to spite him. Rather, you should take it with him. It's, you know, this beautiful gold Rolex. Oh, thank you so much for giving to me. It means so much. And then, oh, you're so you mess up, you stumble, and you fall, and you drop it into a pit, and that way you can avoid this situation. So now the Gemara is going to have three discussions about the other types of commercial interactions which are prohibited, and it's all going to be based on the machlokas between Abaya and Rava. So Gemara says, "Bishlama lahashilam de kamarvech lehu avo lishol mehen." So we said in the Mishnah that not only can you not engage in commerce, but you can't give them loans, and you can't take loans from them. So Gemara says, why is that the case? I understand if you can't give them loans because they're going ahead, they're getting a profit, and that's going to cause them to be happy and to praise their God. But when it comes to borrowing from them, you are taking away their liquid assets. So that should be the opposite. It should be mitzar lehem, that should be permitted. So Abaye says, gzeir lishol mehen atu lahashilan. The reason why it's prohibited to borrow from them, even though it will result in a negative result, is because we're worried that you're going to go ahead and come to giving them a loan. So it sounds like, again, that we're prohibiting X because of Y. Now, the problem with that is that in general, we have a concept called Ein Gozen Gzeira L'Gzeira, meaning that when it comes to biblical prohibitions, so it's classic Chazal to make a prohibition. I'm going to prohibit X because Y, and Y in this case is a biblical prohibition. So many different examples of this exist. However, when it comes to a rabbinic prohibition, you can't say, oh, typically we don't say that, oh, there's X that's going to be prohibited because Y, in this case, Y is a rabbinic prohibition. And yet seemingly Abaye is arguing that that's exactly what we're doing here. We're prohibiting, again, assuming that this is all rabbinic prohibition, we're prohibiting the giving them of borrowing from them because we're afraid you're going to come to give them loans. So you could say, well, maybe everybody thinks that this is a Daraisa, which is kind of challenging because then it creates an imbalance in the Shakavataria, that one opinion thinks it's a Daraisa, and the other opinion thinks it's Darabanan. The other option is, and I was really bothered by this last night, is I looked up the key sugya when it comes to the topic of Ein Gozerin, Gzeira L'Gzeira, is the Gemara Beitza, Beizim Beis, Bru Gimel Beis. And there the Gemara is constantly trying to figure out what is the prohibition of Beitza Shenol to be Yom Tov, of an egg which is laid on Yom Tov, why is it Aser? It's very clear to the, at least one opinion in the Mishnah that it's Aser, the question is why? So the Gemara gives plenty of examples, and each time it sounds like that it's violating this principle of Gzeira L'Gzeira. So what the Rashba does, if you look at the Rashba in Beitza, he says, oh, it's not a problem, because Abaye in general, quoting our Gemara, Abaye in general does not hold to this principle of Ein Gozen Gzeira L'Gzeira. He doesn't think it's a problem. He thinks that it's within the powers of Chazal to prohibit X, even when Y is only rabbinic. Alternatively, and this is a common thread throughout all those Gemaras there, and also seemingly applicable here, is that the answer will be that no, the answer is, Kulo chada gzerahi. It's not an example of a gzera on top of another gzera. It's rather one larger gzera. And so this is actually a machlokas, Rambam and Rashi, what exactly that mean. That for the Rambam, what it means is that when it comes to setting up precedent, so if you have in a chronological order, you had, let's say, for example, in 2004, the Senate passed a certain bill, and then 2019, the Senate added a rider clause onto that bill. So the Koran of the Rambam, because it took place in a chronological order, one after the other, over a period of time, that would be a violation of Gozen Gzeira L'Gzeira. But if it happened at the same time, for example, that they went and they said, okay, in 2004, we're making this bill, and the focus is really X, but we'll add in Y, we'll add in Z, then they're all going to be rabbinic principles. Nevertheless, according to the Rambam, that won't be a violation of this principle of Ein Gozen Gzeira L'Gzeira. Alternatively, Rashi suggests that when the Chazal make a gzera, they were included everything which was similar, in at least in concept, to the original gzera. And therefore that would not be violative of Ein Gozen Gzeira L'Gzeira, because we'd say here that the principle of lending, whether regardless of what direction it's happening in, is similar enough. So then Rava says, Rava back in our Gemara of Avon Bet, he says, Rava Amar Kula Mishud Azul Modehe. No, the whole reason why here, it's all one problem. They're all, regardless of who's giving the money, whether it's a Jew giving the pagan money or the pagan giving the Jew money, the pagan's going to be happy regardless, and therefore it's going to lead to the issue here of Harvacha. They're going to be having some sort of profit. They're going to go ahead and be moded to their pagan god. The same conversation we have when it comes to lending. As we said before, the She'ilam is when you loan something which is the actual item. For example, you lend someone or you borrow from someone a computer. However, Halva is when it comes to a monetary loan. So the Gemara says, Bishlam ala halvosa mishum dekam marvech lehu. So I understand why it should be prohibited to give them a loan, because they're going to be getting some sort of profit. Why would it be prohibited to take a loan from them? Again, the svar being that you're actually taking away their liquid capital, and it should be mitzta'er, not miraveach. So Amrabai, same answer, gzera lavas mihan atu lahalvasam. The reason why it's prohibited is because we had a gzera that you can't borrow from them lest you come to give them a loan. And Rav Amar, Rav Asa gives the same answer, kula mishud azal modehu, the same factors that play here. We're worried that regardless of the interaction, regardless of who's giving the money to who, there's going to be some sort of positive feelings for the pagan, and that's going to lead them to praise their deity. And again, as we saw from Rashi, you're going to violate the prohibition, at least on a rabbinic level, of lo yishma picha. Similarly, the Gemara says, similar issue. The Gemara, the Mishnah said, you cannot pay them back because that makes sense, because you're giving sort of profits and lead to them praising their deity. Ah, but what about them requiring, you were requiring them to pay you back 3 days before their holiday, assuming that would cause them negative feelings? So the Gemara says, same answers. Amar Abaye, Gzeira Lefroa Mihen, Atu Lefroan, that because we prohibit both, them, you taking back, you receiving payment for them, lest you come and pay them back. And Rava says, Kulu Mishum Da'azulam Modehu. They're all the same factor that we're worried, regardless of the interaction, regardless of who's doing what, you're going to go ahead and the pagan's going to be happy and they're going to praise their Lord. So we'll stop here for today, and tomorrow we'll discuss why it is the Mishnah needed all these different examples. Everyone have a great day.